Good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeve. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is the 2nd of May in the year of our Lord, 2022. A lovely Monday morning here. And let's open with the collect of the day, Philip and James Apostles. Almighty God, you gave your apostles, Philip and James, the grace and strength to bear witness to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Grant that we, being mindful of their victory of faith, may glorify in life and death the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I am sipping on a Pike's Place coffee, so a medium roast. No cream this morning, must keep the pipes clear. Though I am enjoying the diet book that we're looking at, which is not really a diet book, it's a book about fasting as a way of improving health, etc. But there's this lovely recipe for coffee, it's heavy cream and cinnamon, which is really yummy, but not particularly good for keeping your throat clear when you try to record. So it's just some black coffee for me this morning. So now, where are we? We are on page 67 of the Catechism, question 156. 156. How can you have fellowship with God? How can you have fellowship with God? And so we're in a section on prayer. So specifically, we're looking at prayer and then in the context of that. Because the previous question, question 155, what should you seek in prayer? It says, in prayer, I should seek not only God's provision for my needs, but fellowship with God, who made me first fellowship with himself. So we're answering that question of what does that mean to have fellowship with God? So question 156, how can you have fellowship with God? Through the death and resurrection of Jesus and union with him by the Holy Spirit, I have fellowship with God as his adopted child. I experience this in prayer, worship, God's word, the sacraments, and Christian community as I daily follow him by faith. So several parts to this. How can you have fellowship with God? Answer, through the death and resurrection of Jesus and union with him by the Holy Spirit, I have fellowship with God as his adopted child. I experience this in prayer, worship, God's word, the sacraments, and Christian communities. I daily follow him by faith. All right, so let's go through the scriptural references. Nehemiah 9, 1 through 8. Now on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. And the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord, their God, for a quarter of the day. For another quarter of it they made confession and worshiped the Lord their God. On the stairs of the Levites stood Jeshua, Bani Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Chenani. And they cried with a loud voice to the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Basham, Berniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Habaniah, and Pethahiah, said, stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. Blessing be your glorious name. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord, the God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name of Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made with him the covenant to give to his offspring the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite, and the Girgashite. And you have kept your promise, for you are righteous. Next is Psalm 65, 1-4. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear my prayer, O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. The next is the Gospel of our Lord according to St. John, chapter 15, verses 9-17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. The next is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 42-47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. The next is the letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 14-17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also be glorified with him. And the final scriptural reference is the first letter of John, chapter 1, verses 3-7, or the first epistle of John, 1:3-7. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, question 156. How can you have fellowship with God? So what's that mechanism? What's the thing? How do you have fellowship? Actually, you know what's interesting? Let's define fellowship. So, fellowship. Friendly association, especially with people who share one's interest. The status of a fellow, a colleague, or society. She held the Faulkner Fellowship. So, fellowship, a joining of fellows, a people of shared interest. So, what's our shared interest with God? So, how do you have fellowship with God? That's a pretty intimate word, then. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus and union in with him by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, a quick recap of the gospel, you know, we turn to Jesus to have life, right? We believe upon him who died for our sins and took up, you know, is the propitiation of our sins, who took upon himself our sins, and as we receive forgiveness. So through the death and resurrection of Jesus and union with him by the Holy Spirit, so the triune God there, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have fellowship with God as his adopted child, right? Not as his, we're not like the Son, right? The Son is completely different. God from God, light from light, true God begotten, not made, right? We're his adopted children. So something distinct, but we are considered heirs. Our brother, Jesus, has called us to himself. So as his adopted child, I experience this in prayer. Five different little components. Prayer, worship. So prayer through worship, God's word, so reading scripture, the sacraments, so the through baptism one time, and then the sacraments of the body and the blood weekly. One preferably, Christian community, as I daily follow him by faith. I would almost put minutely, secondly, pray without ceasing, I think Paul says. This fellowship is joined in many different pieces, right? Because it's not a simple thing to have fellowship with another human being. You know, you do have to have proximity, either a telephone call or in person, and there's a communication, right? By words, by looks, a hug, a handshake, you know, a hand on the shoulder. Those things are experienced in direct community. Right, either by spoken word, and some friendships hold up by phone and some don't, right? Some do require that maintenance of physical closeness. I have a friend who I haven't seen in years, but because we did spend a fair amount of time back when we were both in the military around each other, there's still that sort of memory of that shared experience. And we've been able to sustain the friendship even though we're, 1,000 miles apart. Regular phone calls, emails, things like that. That maintains that line of communication. More importantly, better than that, to experience that relationship with God, that fellowship with God, which is even more complex and more necessary, of course, much more necessary. So have fellowship, experience this in prayer, worship, God's word, the sacraments, and Christian community. So in your church, right, that you should be, I can't, you know, go to church. So we have, of course, the section in John, probably among the more famous sections of John, besides maybe 3:16. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So, right, he's comparing his love for the Father with how our love for him should be, because in us in loving him, we are loving the Father, right? It's this proxy, right? He and the Father are one, right? I am in the Father and the Father is in me, and right? So commandment, love one another. No greater love has one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So again, connecting it to fellowship with Christ is following the commands of Christ. So here's Cyril of Alexandria. His aim is neither to depress his holy disciples by words too grievous, being aware, as God, of the great tendency of human reason to weakness, nor again does he permit them by immoderate assurances to fall into a state of backsliding, for this is indeed a disease and a serious one. By forming a mean between these two from a mixture of both, he fitly leads them into a safe path, and works in them a knowledge of the more stable state and of the complete uncertainty of which is removed from it. When, therefore, then, he has abundantly comforted them with words of consolation, and with respect to those things at which they would be likely to be cast down, persuading them in turn to rejoice, he again incites them by his injunctions to diligence, to a confident courage, persuading them to change their minds and rather to rejoice at those things at which they had not without reason been dismayed, and charges them to display the utmost zeal and put into practice an overflowing measure of brotherly love, and to benefit those as yet without faith, and to hasten by the words and deeds that make for righteousness to draw those who are astray to willingness to be united to God by faith. Offering himself then as an image and pattern of that which must be done, and bringing before them that which has already been established by him in their behalf, he persuades them to imitate their teacher and themselves to be conspicuous in like righteousness when he says, "Ye did not choose me, but I chose you," and what follows. Conceive him then as saying, "Gird yourselves with love towards one another, O my disciples, for ye ought indeed yourselves also to devise and go toward one another, and perform with eager zeal those things which I first accomplished towards you. For I chose you, and it is not you that have chosen me. I drew you to myself, and made myself known to those who knew me, not through my exceeding kindness, and I brought you, I drew you to myself, and made myself known to you, known to those who knew me, not through my exceeding kindness, and I brought you into a steadfast opinion, so as to lead you up to, that is, to confer on you the ability to reach forward to that what is greater, to bear fruit unto God. Attain, therefore, to the complete confidence that whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, ye shall receive. Since, therefore, ye follow in the track of my words and ministry, and have the mind which my true disciples ought to be endued with, it follows that ye ought not by your own tarrying to throw obstacles in the way of him who of his will seeks the faith and is self-called to a life of piety, but that you should rather attach yourselves as guides to those who are still ignorant and astray, and bring to those who do not yet prefer to learn it the gospel of salvation, and eagerly exhort them to attain unto the true knowledge of God, even though the mind of your hearers be hardened into disobedience. For thus they would be in your condition, that is, they will advance and will return by gradual growth, and what is better to fruit-bearing in God, so as to have the fruit that ever remains and is preserved, and that most acceptable object of prayer, the bestowal of whatsoever they wish, if only they ask in my name. So much then on this head, for it is necessary again, compressing in a few words the drift of the text to make it clear to our hearers. He persuades his disciples to have so much love towards others, and wishes to exhibit as much zeal in their persistent endeavor in all directions to pursue and bring to holiness the souls of those who have not yet believed, as he himself first showed towards us and them. For that he himself chose his disciples is unquestioned, and I think it unnecessary to state how and in what way the call of each was made. Here ends the reading. I use that passage because I think it's a wonderful expression of what it is to have fellowship. This intimate knowledge of the God and the God the Father and God the Son, right? I am in him and he is in me, right? So love one another as I have loved you. There's a deep expression of what is that fellowship, what is the thing that we are striving towards. The fellowship with God is fellowship in an intimate way with him. And in this answer, we're given the five different pieces. We are given the five different pieces: prayer, worship, God's word, so scripture, the sacraments, and Christian community, right? Each of those bearing witness to the other, right? Each interplaying. Community, of course, is also where we're getting the sacraments, because those are part of a worship, of a service. I wanted to say mass, but that doesn't always go down well with everybody. A Sunday service, right? Sacraments, God's word, the preaching of the word, which involves worship. We are adoring God through the liturgical process and through the singing of songs of worship and prayer. All those things are all tied together. They're all part and parcel. They're bits and pieces of a bigger scheme that all reinforce each other. And then, so now, let's see, of course, 1 John. We are writing these things that our joy may be complete. Our fellowship, indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So, Augustine of Hippo. Manifested among us, which might be more plainly expressed, manly infested to us. The things, therefore, which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. 1 John 1:3. Those saw the Lord himself, present in the flesh, and heard words from the mouth of the Lord, and told them to us. Consequently, we also have heard, but have not seen. Are we then less happy than those who saw and heard? And how does he add that ye also may have fellowship with us? Those saw, we have not seen, and yet we are fellows, because we hold the faith in common. For there was one who did not believe even upon seeing, and would needs handle, and so believe, and said, I will not believe except I thrust my fingers into the place of the nails and touch his scars. So, of course, we're talking about Thomas. And he did not give himself a time to be handled by the hands of men, who always give themselves to be seen by the sight of the angels. And that disciple did handle and exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Because he touched the man, he confessed the God. And the Lord, to console us who, now that he sits in heaven, cannot touch him with the hand, but only reach him with faith, said to him, "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." We are here designated. Then let the blessedness take place in us, of which the Lord predicted that it should take place. Let us firmly hold that which we have seen not, because those tell us who have seen, that ye also, says he, may have fellowship with us. And what great matter is it to have fellowship with men? Do not despise it. To see what he adds, and our fellowship may be with God the Father, and Jesus Christ his Son. And those things, says he, we write unto you, that your joy may be full. 1 John 1:4. Full joy he means in that fellowship, in that charity, in that unity. Here ends the reading. It's quite the little passage there. Full joy he means in that fellowship, in that charity, in that unity, right? Unity with the Spirit, just as God is at unity with himself, right? He is the triune God. He is a God, three persons. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, right? So there's a unity, and God is calling us in Christ, is calling us to that unity through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? It's all working together, calling us. Cyril Jerusalem said, you know, to give patience to us as we call and call those who are to the unbeliever, right? To minister to them, to call them, right? Patience with that. I mean, the Lord himself spent 3 years with Peter, with the apostles, right? And they didn't grasp it immediately. And the Lord himself walked with them, right? Let us be at least as patient as that. And then St. Augustine calls us to remember that fellowship is drawn for us. God, Jesus saw us before we came to him, right? He's promising, you know, those who will believe without seeing, right, to Thomas. So in our desire to have fellowship with God, God has already given us, seen us. He has already seen us, knowing that we would come without seeing. We don't have that Thomas moment. We don't get to see the pierced hands. But we know people who did, and we can trust them. So we're called into fellowship with God as the first apostles were called into fellowship, who called them, people after them, who called people after them, who called people after them, 2 millennia now, 2,000 years of history. And it's the same process. Fellowship with God. How do you have fellowship with God? Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and union with him by the Holy Spirit. I have fellowship with God as his adopted child. I experience this in prayer, worship, God's word, the sacraments, and Christian community as I daily follow him by faith. I want to thank you for listening. I'm doing this a day early because of just kind of how the work process has changed and shifted, and so it may not always be Tuesday and Friday, but and I wanted to do it today. Well, it was a good day, and I kind of liked the fact that today's was remembering the apostles, Philip and Peter, not Philip, Philip and James, excuse me, Philip and James. That seemed like a nice opener, and so instead of releasing this on Tuesday, I'm going to release it today. Feedback amateuranglican@gmail.com. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate and review me. That would be lovely. Share it with your friends. What's the other things I like to say? If you can think you can do this better, please do. The point of this podcast is completely about catechesis, the need for catechism. I think we should be doing it, that we should make it just utterly normative. That it's not even a weird thing. It's, that word's still kind of strange. But we're coming out of a period of church history, at least here in the West, of complete abandonment of all things. Discipleship, catechism, catechesis, etc. So, thank you for listening. I'll close this out with prayer. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.